Well, if we're going to get excited, we need to get excited about our children. Is that right or wrong? Especially when they're doing something as unto the Lord, right? We can go to ball games and shout and kick and scream and paint our bodies all up and carry on. We need to do that for the Lord, don't we? I'll tell you what, we're in another day. We better be doing something with these children. That's for sure. I'll tell you, I've been blessed this week coming up to this BBS and seeing all these kids up here. Boy, I tell you, it's just really provoking my thoughts in a good way. So how y'all's week been? It's been good. You have a good week. Didn't we have a good day yesterday? Wasn't that great seeing all them kids out there and just enjoying themselves? And, you know, a lot of kids don't come to the church even. I love it. You know, and then we're out there, hey, you need to come to our church. You know, It's about reaching out to just enjoy, letting people know that being a Christian's fun, right? We're having fun, right? You don't have to come to my church to have fun, but we have fun. If we believe in Jesus, hey, that's right. Is that right or wrong? Isn't that the way it ought to be? We're not trying to get you to come to church. We're trying to get you to, come on, let's get with Jesus and let's move in life. April, it's good to see you today. She's been on a mission, haven't you? She's all about children. All right, we're going to hear from her sometime. I was just so elated with that day, with yesterday. I had a ball. Did you guys have fun? Man, that was fun. Yeah, the dunk tank. Not the dunk tank. But just seeing all the people and all those kids out there just really blesses me. I remember when I first came to this church, there was no children. There weren't any children in this church. No kids, nowhere. And you see that? Dang on, that blesses you. You know what I mean? Especially as a pastor. Because folks, less than 4% of our generation today knows anything about the Bible, and they don't want to go to church of the generation today. So what's that saying about the parents? What are we doing? We're not passing our faith on. So that's why it's so important that we focus on children. I'm not going to preach about children, but I'm trying to get you to see something, all right? I had my granddaughter yesterday, and I just have a ball every time I have her with me. You know, it's just like, we, on the way up here, we went to Bob Evans for breakfast, and she goes, we went in, we ordered our stuff to drink, and then they brought our food, and she looks at me across the table, and she goes, "Papa, aren't you going to sit by me?" Puts her little hands up, "Aren't you going to sit by me?" Like, "What are you doing way over there?" I said, all right. So I got around on the side, and this other couple said, "Hey, I wouldn't pass that. I'm not going to pass this up." So we had our little prayer, and you know, she wanted me to sit by her. I was, man, that just builds you up inside, you know? That's love. You know, that's what it is. Just pure, nothing in it, love. That does something to your heart. Children, boy, they can get a hold of you, can't they? She had a ball up here yesterday. You know, and then, I came up here, and she had her bathing suit, couldn't talk, wait to get on the water slide. I was, oh, yeah, there's going to be a water slide. Then I get here, oh, it's ripped, and this isn't going to happen. Oh, I'm thinking, oh, man, my mind started getting bombarded with, there's not going to be a water slide. We got all these kids coming, you know, and this isn't working, and that isn't what it's like. And I've been teaching on prayer, and I'm trying to pray and keep my cool, and I'm ready to just blow a fuse. But it ended up better than it, you know. We ended up getting a really nice water slide thing, and it was just awesome. My point is, had I not prayed that morning, I probably would have blown a fuse. That's my point. You know, when you come up and nothing's working, and you got all these people coming and expecting, and you know, you've been at, you know, and you're trying to do the right thing, you know, and nothing, it's like, that can get on you, can't it? Am I talking to the right people? But you know what? Because I did have my prayer time, I believe it protected me from reaming somebody, or you know what I mean? What's so funny about that? You guys done that before? All right. Pastors do that too, but you know, it's not something we want to practice, right? But things happen. And you know what? When you really pray, you're more adaptable to the circumstance. It doesn't get you all out of sync and discombobulated. Really? All right. So what have we been talking about? Prayer. That's the series we're in. And so we talked about the last time I shared on prayer is you have to be specific in what you pray about, right? You have to be specific in what you pray about. And the idea of being specific is you got to find a word, you got to search the scriptures even before you pray sometimes and get God's promise on it and get God's word on it and then take it to prayer, then go pray. But see, a lot of people just want to go pray and they don't get God's word on it and they're not even beginning to do it the way He's taught us and the way He has it laid out for us. And we just do our own thing. And then we're miserable and we don't understand why. Folks, we gotta do it the way God says, right? That's why He's given us His word. That's the idea. When we do it His way, things change. When we do it our way, things change what? For the what? That's right. So we are to be specific when we petition God about what it is we're praying about and get a word from God on it, because all our problems, everything we go through, there's a solution in God's word. And when you get that word on it and you'll stand on it, you'll see not only your circumstances change, but you'll change in the midst of it. That's why people don't like to pray, because they begin to see themselves and the changes they need to make. Anybody, do you find it difficult to pray? Thanks, Bertie. We got one honest person in the church. Oh, we got two over here. It's not easy. It's not easy to sit down and pray or get on your knees and pray or stand, you know. I pray all day long, but I'm talking about spending time with God and really letting Him talk to you, and He begins to show you you. Sometimes we don't like what we see, and that's why we don't want to go there. We would rather get busy and, you know, go hear a message. Go here, thrill me. You know, inspire me, what you got today. But folks, listen, when we pray, we come eager. Oh man, what's He got today? You know, because we're hungry for God. People who pray are hungry. That's the one of the signs of a praying person. They're hungry. They're hungry for God. But when you're just going through the motions, you're just looking for something else to cover up what you don't want to deal with. Is that true? And you know, when people in an environment where people pray, people are real. It creates a culture of reality. Reality becomes your friend. That's why, you know, technology, that's reality is, I got to deal with that stuff. I got to get computer savvy or whatever you want to say about it, right? And man, I can't stand it. It's frustrating, but I got to do it. That makes sense? When you pray, reality becomes your friend. Because you start, now you really start, can deal with stuff. But when you don't pray, you're always hiding something. You get religious. Huh? All right. I haven't started yet. But now look, so we've got to be specific. And what else? We have to ask. You know how many people go to church and they don't ask God? They aren't even asking God for anything. They go in and out, they go through their week, they're busy, but they never really take time to ask God. What are you longing for? You know, single women, pray for that spouse. Single men, pray for that person that God wants you to be with. Pray for them. You know, pray for, ask. Right? You have not because you ask not. You have to ask Him. And then you have to what? Believe that you receive. Remember what our scripture was last time? Matthew 11, or Mark 11, 23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So what's the formula? Whatever you ask, you're going to get. Is that right? The formula is whatever you ask and whatever you believe, you receive. How many people go to God and they pray and they ask, but they really don't believe it? They just throw it up there and they just talk to Him, but they really don't believe it. They'll turn right around and talk the opposite of what they really are believing for. Negative. See, that's not petitioning God. That's not real prayer. See, that's just immaturity. But we're trying to get all of us, including myself, into this idea of truly praying. Because I'm going to tell you what, prayer is not an easy thing because it shows you. Okay. Now, John 16, 23, 24 is also, I'm still kind of doing a recap. So today, we're going to talk about opposition in prayer, okay? What we face in opposition in prayer. Let's go to our foundational scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter. Okay, we're going to look at verse 5 through 9. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You may be seated. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, what you're doing in the hearts of your people. We ask, Lord, that you continue to lead us and teach us by your Holy Spirit. You said the Holy Spirit is the helper, the teacher. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us today. Teach us your truth, Lord. Lead us and guide us. We desperately need your direction today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for again for what you're doing in your people, and we give you praise honor, and glory. Lord, we thank you what you're doing in your children and in the children of this church and this community. Lord, help us to see the urgency of reaching our children. Father, again, we thank you and we trust you today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay. Now, he says, clothe yourself in humility. So, we're talking about opposition, and today we're going to talk about we talked about when we're specific, and we're going to ask God things, we're going to petition God for something, and we're specific, we're going to face opposition. You're going to face opposition when you do that. Because when you set out to get real and honest with God, you're going to face opposition. And that's where it's going to happen in your thinking. So we're going to talk about the opposition that we face in our thought life and how we're going to have to get control there, or it's going to affect our prayer life and the rest of our life. Now, so he says, clothe yourself in humility. In other words, be clothed in humility. What's humility? What's it mean? To submit your soul to God. To submit your soul to God. In other words, what's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want to bring all those up under the authority of God. And everything, all your decision making, all your decisions, all that comes from your soul. Your thinking, you know, your emotions, all that comes out of your soul. So you want to bring all that to God. Humility. That takes humility. That takes you going to God and depending on Him for what's happening in life, my life. Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. He's the supervisor of our souls. And we want to submit to Him, okay? So that's what that means, clothed in humility. And then it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God will exalt you if you humble yourself. But if you exalt yourself, He will what? Humble you. I would rather spend some time humbling myself than, because I've had Him humble me a few times. And I know you all have too. But I tell you, He will. You know? So, if we'll humble ourselves, He will exalt you. That's just it. You don't have to blow your own horn. You don't have to. God will make sure. Amen? Because He's getting glory out of your life. So, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, when we go to God in the morning and we cast our cares on Him, folks, it's like we're not going to carry it the rest of the day. We're not going to be full of worry and anxiety and worried about the bills. You may have bills, but you know what? When you take them to God and He starts giving you peace even about all your bills, because you're dependent on Him. You start to build a relationship. You're dependent on Him. He's going to take care of it. He said, I will provide all your needs according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm standing on. I'm not going to worry about bills and money coming in. No, God's in control, right? When I cast my cares on Him, now I don't have to carry it all day. But if I don't go to Him, then I'm going to carry it. I'm worried. How's it going to do? That's why it says, be anxious for what? Nothing, right? Nothing, no thing. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6. But by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, now, so we're going to face opposition there. I'll tell you what, I have some mornings where, you know, I want to roll over and not get up, or I just get up and hit the ground running. You ever have those days? I've noticed those days can be my worst days at times. But when I have time and I set aside time and I get up and move and I really want to meet with God, seems like my day goes a whole lot smoother. Am I talking to the right people? Does that happen with you all or not? All right. So that's what we're shooting for. Now, it says, verse 8. It says, if we cast all our cares because He cares for you, He's going to, the harvest of what you've sown, that word casting, all your cast means to sow. You've sown your cares on God. Now the harvest is going to be Him caring for you. Now look at this. Now He says, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He looks for people to, in other words, he can't devour everybody, but he's looking for somebody to devour. He's looking for the one who's not taking his cares to God. He's looking for the one who's not dependent, who's not got God's word on it and standing on it. That's the one he's looking for. He can't take out everybody and he can't trouble everybody. He can only trouble and take the ones out who haven't casted their cares on him, on God. And they're trying to carry it. He'll come and make it twice as bad. Does that make sense? And that's the way he works. See, everything we need has already been established. The battle has already been won. We just got to get in there and believe it and walk in it. Satan has already been defeated. Right? We got the blood of Jesus. He's already been defeated. That's why he says, what? Be sober. Remember what sober mean? Not intoxicated. Not intoxicated. Not under the influence. In other words, and the word sober means to be balanced. When you're sober, you're balanced. You have a balance in your life. Okay? When I'm sober-minded, I'm balanced. In other words, I got God's word. Now I need more of His word to balance me out. I don't need God's word and unbelief. That throws me off of balance. Or fear, that, or doubt, that throws me. But I just keep getting more of God's word. Keep searching His word more. And that brings more balance, right? So that word sober means balance, but it means not intoxicated and not under the influence. So what happens is we get under the, when we don't want to go to God in prayer and get God's word on it, what happens? Now we want to call somebody or we want to talk to somebody else and they tell us their opinion and God's not in it. And then now what? We're under the influence. We've listened. We're under the influence of something else other than God. You see that? Huh? That's what happens. And that's why it's so important to be aware and you get a word and not depend on your spouse or your kids or Uncle Joe or anybody but God. God wants you to depend on Him. And you get God's word on it and stand on it and then watch your life begin to, you'll have more peace. You'll have less anxiety. Be sober. Don't be intoxicated with other things. That's why he says in Isaiah 51:21, he says, listen to me, please hear this, you who are afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. You who are afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. You're under the influence, you're drunk. That's what drunk means, too, to be under the influence. You're drunk. But it's not with wine, not alcohol. You're all consumed with something else. He says, you who are afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine. Affliction means sorrow, pain, and sufferings. In other words, what you're involved in is bringing the sorrow, the pain, and the sufferings. See, what you're overindulging in, that's what's bringing the pain and the sufferings in your life because you're not listening to Him. See, when we pray, that's when we listen. See, prayer is a two-way thing. You talk to God and God talks to you. That's why he says, hear this. You're getting out in too many things. That's where the affliction's coming from. But when we'll hear what God has to say and we'll stand on it, you'll see it start to bring life into your life. Am I making sense? But you know what? You get all wrapped up in things. People come in here this week, dropping their kids off and coming in here. So I tell you, I was talking to all, some of them look like they've been drinking Haterade. I mean, just counting is all, they just got a big toot and they're just. Does that make sense? They're intoxicated with something other than God. And it does look like they've been drinking Haterade. I mean, it's like you can feel it. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, when you pray, it shows up in your countenance. You're not running around with a toot and real negative towards people and looking at them negative and or just all consumed with yourself. See, that's what prayer does. It attacks selfishness. It attacks selfishness. That's why we like to be selfish. See, this is important, isn't it? Are you glad you came today? You still love me? The idea is, folks, when we are intoxicated with other things, we can't hear clearly from God. And it affects every area of our life. Every area of our life. Now watch this. We have to tell when the enemy comes, we have to give him God's word and say it's written, just like Jesus did. And what was Jesus? He was praying. Who showed up? Old Bubba Breath, right? He showed up and he spoke the word to the enemy. And that's the way we have to do it. That's the way we defeat him. We speak what we get from God. Now, I heard somebody say it like this. We must cooperate with God. I like that. Must cooperate with God. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, right? Submit yourself to God. So let's look at it this way. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him and by Him. Now watch this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Submit to God. So we could say it like this. Submit to the Word. See that? Submit to the Word. Come under the authority of God's Word first, and then you resist the devil. See that? And he'll flee. You have to come under that authority of what God says first, and then you can put a stick in his spokes. Amen? And that's really the biblical way to do it. But if we're always trying to do it in our own, the devil's going to laugh at us, right? I mean, really. We get frustrated. All right, now, we get his word and his experience, and we begin to experience the supernatural. We begin to experience the supernatural. Everybody's always looking for the supernatural. But folks, the word of God is supernatural. It's spiritual. And when we will get it and stand on it, now we're in the supernatural. We're in a place for miracles. We're in a position, we are in the supernatural. When we're dependent on His Word, Jesus said, my words are life and they're spirit. When you're dependent on His Word, you're in the supernatural. You're above the natural. And that's where we have to be. That's where people who pray live, in the supernatural. They're not always looking for something. They're not always chasing miracles and going to hear this guy because they want to get hands laid on him and, maybe some. No, you live in it. You may be a part of something sometime, but you live in it, supernatural. Jesus said, it says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? A mind who considers others better than himself. Let this mind be. That's spiritual. That's supernatural. That's above the natural to consider others better than yourself. You see, when you're in prayer, you're going to have opposition to always think about yourself. You're going to be hammered that way. But when you're in prayer, you know what? You start praying for other people, your problems don't seem near as significant anymore. Are we making sense? Your problems don't seem near as significant. Let this mind be, what mind? The one who considers them. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each of you, what? Esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's where we're going to be fighting and battling, is in our thought life. But when we truly begin to think about other people, and we have His mind, and we're renewing our mind with His Word, then now our problems become less significant. Now watch this. It says in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, on the supernatural. That's what above means, above the natural. Set. Set your mind on the things above. You know, when it's like having the autopilot in an airplane, like setting for the direction of the plane, you just put it in autopilot and it goes in the direction and where you set it, right? When we were going to India, we were in this big 777 plane, and I mean, this thing was big. And there was this big computer screen in the middle of the plane, and you could look up, and there was a plane. You could see the path of the plane, and we're going over Kuwait. We're going over Afghanistan. We're going over Iraq. I mean, all these turbulent areas, you know, where there's trouble and war. And, you know, but you see, we're up above it all. See, we're going over. And the plane set point is to get us to our destiny. And you see, that's what it is. When we set our mind on the things above, we're going to end up reaching our destiny. We're going to get up. The things down here and all the stuff, all the things we see around here aren't going to have their effect on us, because we're up here and we're moving, because His ways are higher than our ways, right? And that's, we're in the supernatural, and we've set our mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth, right? Is this making sense? And that's why when you set the thermometer, you set the thermostat here, you set it on a temperature, it's not going to quit until it reaches the temperature, the room reaches that temperature. Because it's calling the air conditioning, it's calling out, until you get there, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit till you get to this temperature. I'm not going to quit. You see, that's the way it is when we pray. We got to keep going to God, petition to God, and we're crying out to God until it gets to where we're going, and then we can quit in that area of our life. Am I making sense? I know I'm getting excited, but you know what? This is the way it is, folks. You know, it's not just somebody's going to pray, have somebody else pray. You got to start praying. You have to start doing it. Not depending on someone else all the time. You know, so we're going to get to a point where we can lay hands on ourselves and be healed. Seriously. All right. When we pray, we have to be grateful, thankful. You're going to be attacked in your mind to start complaining when you don't see results right away. You're going to be attacked in your thought life to start complaining. I'm going to tell you what. That's why the people didn't enter into the promised land. Because of why? Murmuring, fault finding, and complaining. I'm going to tell you what. God loves it when you show gratitude. My son doesn't call me all the time, but I'll tell you what, he called me this week, Thursday, because we were talking about me picking up Zeta. She called, "You want me to turn the temperature down? You're just going to have to endure it this morning." No, that's good for you. That makes for a better relationship. Just give her a good rub. Give her a good squeeze. But my son doesn't call me all the time, But he called me up to, we're making arrangements for Zeta to come up here. And so he called me, you know, and I said, he goes, yeah, I just got done reading to Zeta this book and that book. And he goes, you know, I always remember when you used to read to me. And he goes, that's why I started reading to Zeta. You know, he goes, I am so thankful for how you brought me up, Dad. And, you know, you read to me. He goes, you took me to church. He goes, everything I do, he goes, I always think, it's a lot of what you taught me. He said, I am so thankful for what you've taught me. And, I'm putting the phone away. I can't, you know, he's Dad. You know, it's like, that's the way God is. When we go to Him and we express what God has done and all He's given us and we're thankful, man, it's touching His heart. It's touching Him. Serve the Lord with gladness, right? Know that the Lord, He is God, for it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful in Him and bless His name. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You see, when we are thankful, you see, that prayer, that whole prayer there is about being thankful. It's passing that truth on to all generations. You see, next generation, they're going to get it. If you approach God and you're thankful, you're going to pass that on to the next generation. Come on now, am I preaching truth today? That's the way it is. And folks, we have to approach God with thanksgiving and not always, you know, what I need or you know, what's not working or just murmuring and complaining. That affects our prayer life right now if we're not expressing gratitude. Okay, now we're almost done. Are y'all in a hurry? We have to reject anything that contradicts the Word of God. We have to reject it and get it lined up with what He says. Take the time and find out what God says about it. Didn't you love that song these kids were singing here? Didn't you love that? That was moving me. I mean, if you get that in a kid's heart, that's going to have an effect on them. I'm here to tell you. When you pray, it brings change in your life. Now, let me tell you something. We all got issues. All of us. And that's what happens when you pray. You begin to see your issues. Your own stuff. People who don't want to pray, they like to look at everybody else's issues. They want to get in everybody else's business and find out, you know, what they aren't measuring up to or what they aren't and what that. You know what I found? That people who really pray, you know what they do? They're too concerned with their own stuff to be looking at what everybody else is doing and wrapped up and being curious about what's going on in everybody else's life. They know they got their own issues to deal with. See, that's reality. That's reality. And that's what happens when you in a place where people pray, and it creates a culture and environment of compassion. Compassion. It creates an environment and culture of compassion. Not judging, not being critical, you know. A person, a prostitute can come into a place where there's an environment of prayer and not feel condemned and not feel judged. And the Holy Spirit may bring some strong conviction on them, just because, but they'll still want to be there because they'll feel love. Am I making sense? And that's why reality becomes your friend when you really pray. When you're really praying, reality becomes your friend. Because you want to be real. It's hypocrisy and fake and phoniness. It doesn't get it with a person who prays. That's why you got churches that are religious and, you know, man, you can just walk in and say, I got to get out of here. Because those people aren't really petitioning God and really, you know, I'm not pointing out any churches. I'm just saying, this is how hypocrisy, this is where religion comes from. But when you petition God, you have compassion towards people. And you know you got your own issues. And you're not in denial all the time. It's like that that newspaper article that there's an article in the newspaper about a dog. And it said, lost dog. Says he only has one eye, half of one ear. His tail's been cut off, and he only has three legs, and he's, you know, he whines a lot. And he answers to the name of Lucky. That's denial. There's a lot of folks running around like that. That's not wanting to deal with your issues, isn't it? Folks, when you truly pray, you know you got issues. And you know you need help just as much as the next person. And that creates an environment that's real. And that's where real change can take place. Is this making sense? And that's what God is doing in His church. We've got to get real, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you got some issues. Look at your other neighbor and say, yeah, I got some, but we're going to get them. We're going to work with them. That's right. What I've discovered that people that pray, one of the things I see in their life is self-control. They operate in self-control. And they're not always telling you about going to the prayer meeting. They're not always telling you they were in prayer. You ever get around people, they want, oh yeah, I prayed this morning, I'm praying tonight, I'm praying. They want to talk about prayer all the time. But man, there's not a lot of self-control in their life. Folks, when you really are petitioning, you're really going to Him, there's going to be self-control. Seriously. And you know, like I said, it brings change. And it welcomes change. You know, I had somebody come in here this week.
What kind of Bible are you reading here? I believe in that old King James Bible. What kind of Bible you read in here? I said, I read the New King James. Oh, I like the old King James.
I said, well, you know, the New King James just takes out the these and the thous.
Well, I like the old King James. You know, I'm from the old school.
I said, you know, I'm not making fun of him. I'm just, you know, this is kind of. And then he looks up at that screen, and, you know, all these kids are in here. It's just heavenly. You know, it's heavenly. He's looking at the screen, and he says,
that there's a problem in the church today. That's what's tearing up the church today right there. I said, what's that? Them screens up in there. Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
I said, you know what? I'm adding a little bit to it, but that's what he said. And that's kind of the way he said it. But I just thought, I just didn't want to go. You know, how could you walk in an environment like that and say that? You know? It's like, I was in there, the Holy Spirit just says, just give him grace. And then he came to the program, and after the end, I hope he's not in here. But at the end, he said, I believe I found me a church home. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Help me, Jesus. But are you getting this? I mean, really, this is what we go through. And it's always, but you know what? It's teaching that, you know why? Because that causes us to have to pray to help to give them the grace. You see? Huh? Is that making sense? All right. Where's my music, folks? Huh? I know. Really, I forgot. It's all right.